but the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Lord, I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Amen. Let's just stand as we sing it tonight. Worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. To the King. Oh, Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. Lord, I'm surrendering my all. Oh, I surrender to the King.
This is a song, a song to the King.
Oh, let the worshipers arise.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing.
Lord, I'm surrendering my all.
Give you my all.
Oh, I surrender to the King. Let's sing it to Him one more time tonight.
Let the worshipers arise.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing.
Lord, I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Amen. Give the Lord a heck of a praise tonight. Amen. Certainly it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. On a Saturday night, we've come to worship, praise, honor Him tonight. Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand or wave at somebody if you're a little too far away. Tell them it's good to see Him in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Play a little more of that. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
I give you my all.
I surrender to the King.
Father, I hear it growing loud. The saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King.
seated this evening. Amen. I tell you what, quite a few people missing tonight. Quite a few people travel up to Virginia, so you're going to have to sing a little louder tonight. Amen. You're doing a wonderful job tonight. Amen. I've got a card here of thanks to read to you, with special thanks to all of you. To know you is to know people who are kind, considerate, thoughtful. To know you is to be grateful for the special things you do, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are. Thank you so very much. I wrote, words cannot express the feelings of our heart to the saints here at Happy Valley. We've been overwhelmed by the outpouring of love shown to Sharon and I from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you, Brother Randall, Sister Sharon. I wrote you a little card there, so we'll get them to put it on the bulletin board so you can see that tonight. Amen. Certainly it's good to see them once again in church tonight with us. Amen. Amen. I want to please continue to remember Sister Janet Lehman in our prayers. She's been sick, coughing, weak in body. Says she's feeling low because she's missing church, so we certainly want to remember her tonight in our prayers. Also, Sister Lona Hara, very sick tonight, so we want to remember her tonight in prayer. Request coming to the library. Nelson Fernandez from India Bombay Church said that his nephew has fallen from a first floor and is unconscious due to brain injury. Says, I humbly request the church to pray for him for a speedy recovery. So we certainly want to lift that young man up before the Lord in prayer. Brother Jeff Dunley had turned in a request / testimony. Said, I wanted to thank the Lord for his healing touch. So he's in the hospital a few years back with elevated ammonia levels. They went up to 500. The normal level is 15 to 45. Said it is now down to 178, but please pray with him that it will get down in the normal range. So I know the Lord is mindful of that need. Amen. He's more than able tonight. Brother Samuel Scheffler turns an unspoken prayer request this evening. Amen as well. Amen. How many has a need on your heart tonight? Amen. You'd like to signify by the uplifting of a hand. Amen. Nothing else, just a closer walk with him would be our desire tonight. Brother Skip, would you come take us before the Lord in prayer this evening as you stand to your feet?
I had some, what could have been serious tests done, and everything come back okay. And I want to thank the Lord for that and thank everybody for praying for me. Let's all just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we know you're a healer, Lord, and we don't, as far as I understand, we won't need healing in the millennium, but we sure need it now, Lord. May you speak to each heart tonight, Father God, and just help us, Lord, as those famous words were said in the Bible. That man said, we do believe, but God, please help our unbelief, Father. We want to draw near to you. We want to be in your presence, Lord Jesus, and just watch over each one of us. Speak to our hearts tonight through Brother Joe, Lord. May you bless us, Lord. May you give us the things we had need of. May you anoint him in a mighty way and anoint our ears we might understand and hear, Lord. Be with the ones that can't be with us, Lord. Be with the ones on the road and traveling, Father. Just watch over each one of us and reveal your word to us. Save our lost loved ones, Father God, as we pray daily for each one of those. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Let's just sing this song tonight. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? No matter where we've been in our life, amen, he's always been there to reach us, Brother Terry. Amen. Aren't you so glad? Let's sing that as brothers come receive the evening offering at this time. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave
sin. I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. Says I moved like that before. I'll do this little thing. Oh, but I'll give you so much more. And he said I walked on the water. I called the raging sea. I spoke to the wind. It hushed and it gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sins? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
He said, do you remember,
amen,
child, where I brought you from?
Thank you, Lord.
Take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you?
Amen, yes.
So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
When he said I walked on the water,
I calmed the raging sea.
I spoke to the wind,
it hushed and I gave you peace.
Didn't I run to your rescue?
Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked beside you just so you wouldn't fall.
Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin?
I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
And he said I walked on the water,
and I calmed the raging sea.
I spoke to the wind,
hushed and I gave you peace.
Didn't I run to your rescue?
Didn't I hear you when you called?
I walked
right beside you just so you wouldn't fall.
Didn't I leave all of heaven
just to die for your sin?
I searched until I found you,
and I do it all again.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes, I'm leaning. From all alarms,
Stands in front of me. Let's sing that tonight. I think so. Amen. Let's sing that as Brother Ryan would come, being preparing to sing for us tonight.
Oh, I have stood for the gospel when it seems I stood alone. Get my focus on the throne. Many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. And so I'll proudly stand until I see the Son, the one who died everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing mighty throne and fall down on my knees. Oh, and the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me.
Let's sing that first verse again.
Oh, I have stood for the gospel when it seemed I stood alone. Through the heartache and frustration, kept my focus on the throne. So many times I have recalled the Savior's words so true. If you won't be ashamed of me, I won't be of you. So I'll proudly stand until I see the face of the one who gave everything for me. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me, every battle that I fall will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees. When the reason that I'm standing stands in front of me. The road has not been easy. At times I've lost my way. So often I've stumbled, searching for the light of day. Circumstances all around me, they said I'd surely fall. When the whispering of doubt and fear told me you would lose it all, but He kept me with His amazing grace. Oh, someday soon I'll have the chance to thank Him face to face.
Oh, the reason that I'm standing
stands in front of me, and every battle that I fought will fade from memory. I'll bow before His mighty throne and fall down on my knees.
millions, every kindred, tongue, and race. And every child of God that day will look upon His face. And the heroes and the martyrs who died on the pagan soil.
Give Brother Ryan a hand as you're seated tonight as he sings for us.
And I found my victory. Yes, I can see and I can see how you delivered me with your hands and in your feet. And I found my victory. And so I'm thankful for your scars, 'cause without them I would not know your heart. And with my life I'll tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. So I'm thankful thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever I am thankful for the scars. So forever I am thankful for the scars.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's just stand to our feet. Let's sing, "He's an on-time God." Amen. We think He's 4 days late. He's right on time. Amen. Let's sing that as Brother Joe comes tonight. He's come expecting. We've come expecting. Pull upon the gift. Let the Lord speak to your hearts tonight. Amen. Oh, He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is. Oh, on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, Job said He may not come when you want Him to. He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. I know He's an on-time God. Yes, He is.
He's never been late. I hope He's on time tonight, because I need somebody to bail me out. But He's always on time. He don't go by our time. You know, we sit there and we cry and moan about things that gets in our life. And Lord, why aren't you taking this out? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? He knows what He's doing. Say, he's never been late. When Lazarus died, He wasn't late. Amen. Well, I'm going to speak on something tonight. We'll get right into it. I've had some texts and people telling me this week that they're praying for me, and I'll take all I can get. I've never been back there one single time, Brother Terry, that I haven't wanted to run out that back door. You've never felt nothing like that in your life until you've been truly called. To me, is a true call is not wanting to do it. Because God knows my heart. I would rather be sitting there. And I might have told y'all this. I remember the first time I talked to Brother Donnie about preaching. I sent him an email. And I called him on the phone, and he was talking on the phone. He said, "Well, you want to take Wednesday night service?" I said, "No." I said, "I'll get back to you." And I remember the email I sent him. I found it the other day. It was in 2006. And my first sermon was in 2009. So I got back with him in about 3 years. So I didn't rush into this. It took a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of praying and a lot of tests and trials. And, you know, we don't understand the path that God has for us. But, you know, if you feel the leading of God in your life for anything, not just preaching, but anything, you know, and you get to question, Lord, is this you? Listen to the word. When I finally did it, Brother Eddie Bisco was up here preaching. We had a chair sitting right in front of the sound booth. And I don't even remember what he preached on. The only words that I remember that entire service was he pointed at me and said, if God's calling you to preach, you better preach. So here I am. So I'm going to chop it up again tonight. Brother Jim Babb says you can't eat it unless it's chopped up. So we're going to chop it up. If you got your Bibles, we'll get right to it. Romans, I'm going to read two scriptures and then we'll be seated. Romans 8:14, and then we're going to read in John 1:12. Thank you, brother. I'm going to actually pick my sermon up tonight where Brother Donnie left off Wednesday night. You know, Brother Terry, sometimes you're wanting confirmation on a sermon that you got prepared, and you're praying about it. You know, Lord, is this what you want me to bring? And very end of his sermon, he got into mine. And I didn't do these notes. I've had these notes for over a year. So we're going to, Brother Donnie was talking about the bride's position.
Amen.
Where is your position as a bride? And we're going to look at that, and then we're going to go into that. And what is your possessions? The possessions as an heir, as joint heirs with Christ. If you claim to be the bride, you're claiming to be a joint heir with Christ. So there's so many things that belong to you. So many things that belong to you. And tonight, I hope we can get a grasp of that tonight, what God has for us. I really believe with all my heart, we leave so much stuff laying around that God has for us that we're not picking up. So if we can, Romans 8:14, we'll read down through chapter verse 17. For as many were led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If it so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. And John 1, we'll read verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And in that verse 12 there, when it says them that believe on his name, that's not like the Baptist method. And when you believe on his name, and then you're set for life. There's everything that comes after that.
Amen.
Which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
Let's pray over the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help me tonight to get out of the way. Lord, there's so many things, Lord, that we've no doubt battled through the week, through the day, Lord. We can't redo that. We can't undo that, Lord. It's already done. But Lord, there's what lies ahead of us. Lord, as human beings, as sons and daughters, Lord, we can trust in you for everything from this point on. Lord, that you will take care of us. So help us tonight, Lord, as your bride is gathered here tonight to receive food for the journey, Lord. Lord, I could give it to them as far as these words that I've got here, these scriptures, these quotes. But Lord, that's all it would be. It would be words of knowledge, of my knowledge of what I've wrote down, what I perceive the scripture to be, what I perceive this quotes to be, Lord. But Lord, if you would come and anoint it, if you would sit me down, Lord, and you would take over and reveal to them, Lord, we could preach this whole sermon and every single person in here would get something different to meet their need, Lord. I pray that you would anoint the people, Lord. We welcome you here tonight, Lord. This is your time. The day's over. We've had our time through the day, Lord, but I pray, Father, that we give light on your time right now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Romans 8:14, and it talks about being a joint heir with Christ. I looked up the definition of what is an heir. A person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. Somebody had to die for you to be who you are, to get what you get, to possess what you get. Somebody had to die. But somebody had to live to be a joint heir. Somebody had to live. You can't be a joint heir with somebody unless they're alive. So everything that Christ had, everything that was given to him of God, everything he possessed, all the power that he had,
Amen.
He died. When he died, that blood was shed so that you could have that too.
Amen.
And the part where Satan missed out was when he rose again. And he didn't take it back from me. He didn't say, well, psych, I'm not really dead. I'm alive. Now you got to give it back. He said, I'll share that with you.
Amen.
They're joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
So Brother Branham says, in the God who is rich in mercy. Now we are a part of God. You always was. You don't remember it because you were only an attribute in God. You were only in his thinking. Your very name, if it was ever was in the book of life, it was put there before the foundation of the world. He knew what you were.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, I'm only saying this not to mix up doctrine, but to straighten it out.
Yeah.
That we might get away from that, from this fear and this scare that you don't know who you are.
Amen.
You're not going to be, but you now are sons of God. See, you always were sons of God. So we identify ourselves of who we are as natural people. You know your natural name, who you are. Some of you are husbands, your brothers, your uncles, your wives, your sisters, your aunts, your moms, your dads. That's your natural identity here on earth.
Amen.
You could say, yeah, I know who I am. I'm Gary Harris' son. That's who I am. That ain't what God wants you to recognize. God wants you to recognize who you are in him. If you can't recognize who you are in him, then the cross was in vain to you. It was in vain. You don't recognize that you're a joint heir. You don't recognize what Christ done for you. You don't recognize what belongs to you. So how does what God wants us to see, how we are in him? You know, we can go on and say we're bride. You know, you can say, I'm bride. I'm identified in this message. I'm a part of this message. And after a while, that's for years and years. That's all we say. I'm in the message. I'm in the message. I'm in the message. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in this message that'll never go through them pearly gates. That's sitting in these churches. And that's the only thing, when they go to the grave, that will be the only thing they take with them related to this message was they sat in a message church. That's all they'll take. Because they never had a full revelation of who they were. You can say I'm bride. Brother Branham, people used to say that. Brother Branham said when the bride recognizes who she is, she'll go. And I think he preached that in 63 in Mystery of God Revealed. That becomes a cliche anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we say that. We say that. When the bride recognizes who she is, she'll leave. We're still here.
Yeah.
I don't dampen my faith any in who I am.
Amen.
If this goes on for another 10 years, 20 years, if I'm still alive, now I absolutely believe I'm going into rapture.
Amen.
I don't believe I go the way of the grave. I don't. I believe that I'm going to be in the rapture.
Amen.
I believe I am the rapture. So if you believe that, you're not going without me. And it ain't because I went to this church. It's not because I believe this message. It's because of who I am. It's because what God made me to be. In the future home, if you are the bride is part of the husband. The only place you'll recognize is recognize what part of that husband, that word you are. And you can't recognize being the bride. How many sees that?
Amen.
You get a bride come up here. A bride comes up here and does her wedding. If all she gets out of that is a nice fancy dress, she thinks she looks good.
Yeah.
And all the pomp and circumstance that goes with it. And she never realizes who she is at that point. She takes on that name. She takes on everything that comes with that name. If he's a millionaire, hey, I don't know if y'all understand in the state of Tennessee what mutual law is. Mutual law is when you're married, what's yours is hers, whether her name's on it or not. That's mutual law. That is recognized in the state of Tennessee. We've had people come file reports. Men come file a report that his wife stole his car. Are you married? Yeah, but we're not living together. It don't matter. It don't matter. What's hers is yours. What's yours is hers. And that's the part of a bride in this last day. Recognize that what's his is yours. You know, we come in here on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays, and we take on the Word. We're getting dressed, putting on the wedding garment.
Amen.
And if you just sit there and put on that garment week in and week out, and that's all you're doing is putting on the garment, just listen, then you get up and walk out. You know, I see people all the time. As soon as the preaching, let's stand. They turn and walk out. Where's the worship? Where's the praise of being the bride? He's dressing you. And that's all you get out of it. It was okay. I got the sleeves put on today, and out the door you go. Where's the worship? You know, and we'll get into it later in possessing. Every time Israel moved further into the land of Canaan, each city they possessed, how did they finish their victory? With praise and worship. And that's part of being the bride. Listen, you know, I'm not a woman, but if I was a woman and I was marrying the man of my dreams, and Wayne laughing at me, if I was a woman and I was marrying the man of my dreams, and I felt it was kosher, I'd be shouting and jumping and, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. This is your dream. This is what you dreamed of your whole life. It's recognizing who you are. But not only recognizing who you are as a bride, recognizing your position in the bride. Everybody's got a position. As Brother Donnie was saying tonight, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's position. Everybody can't have the same position. I'd trade positions with any one of you right now. But everybody has a position. And when you try to fulfill somebody else's position, everything goes sideways. You ever heard that saying, nobody wants to be nobody. Everybody wants to be somebody. But be yourself, because everybody's taken. Be yourself. Don't be nobody else. Don't try to fulfill my position in the bride. If you want to help somebody along the way, be who you are in your position. You'll be a greater blessing being who you are than trying to be somebody else. We all can agree that we're members of the bride. We can all say, yeah, I'm members of the bride. But I can't tell you what your position is. It's not enough to know God. Does God know you? Does God recognize you as a bride in your position? Satan's job, he's not going to tell you this word. And I might have spoken this before. I think I preached a message here a year and a half, 2 years ago on who are you? And I've gotten messages off of that. This is one of them. Satan's not going to tell you this message is wrong. He would never convince you that for nothing. He would never convince you that this is wrong. But his job is to keep you from seeing yourself in this. His job is to keep you from seeing who you are. What is yours? What belongs to you? He'll do his best to keep from getting a true revelation of what lies within you. What kind of power do you have in you? Do we really realize, Brother Terry, what we have as sons and daughters of God? Now, this is not, you can't say, well, I'm in the message. You know, I had a guy come to me many years ago. I was talking about it to somebody yesterday, some guy in the message. He went and told somebody that you had to be in the message to go to heaven, to believe what we believe to go to heaven. And he said, I told him right, didn't I? I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. How many times Brother Donnie hit that in the last year? It's not your four no more. You know, as your position in the bride, you're to be a light to others. But as your light being to light to others, that don't mean nobody else that don't see your light's not going to go. That's your power. That's your position in the bride. Do you recognize what you have? Brother Bram says, in thy house. This is one of my most favorite quotes that he says right here. You're talking about Jupiter and Mars and these stars that you see now. Well, think about 186,000 miles per second. 186,000 miles per second. Take 120 million years. By 1 second, 186,000. Break it down to 120 million years. Then what do you got? That's miles. He says, and now, then beyond that, there's just as many moons and stars. And he holds them with the power of his own word.
Amen.
And that very same thing that holds them is in you as a Christian. If you ever get a revelation of that part, of the power that's in you, there shouldn't be anything out there that you that God says is your possession. Take your possessions that you shouldn't be getting. How could you not? This quote right here is a revelation. It has to be a revelation. And I believe that we don't have a revelation of that. We live so far beneath what God has for us because we don't have a real revelation of the power of God in our lives. Now, I don't mean you're going to walk around, go through a hospital, and raise up everybody out of bed. It's not that. It's the power. Like was Brother Homer preaching about the power of creating? Or Brother Darrell, one of them, creating that atmosphere. The people know who you are. People know when they get around you what kind of person you are. We have to see the power that we have in us. We're going to read in Leviticus. I'm going to start getting into now on the possessions. The children of in Leviticus 20, 24. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit that their land, and I will give it unto you to possess, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which has separated you from other people. They were different. They were a different people. And as time went on, they failed to recognize that. The children of Israel lost a glimpse of who they really were. Of the God that was with them when they come out of Egypt. And they, the ones that went into the land, they seen their family members die off. They seen God slay them in the wilderness. And yet, when they went into the land and God told them, this is the land that you're going to inherit, and the deeper they went in it, the more lax they got. And they were different. They failed to get a revelation of who they were. Verse 25, and you shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast, by fowl, or any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. You shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. Severed means I've divided you. I've pulled you out. I pulled you aside. You're a different people. You have a different power within you. You have a different attitude. You have a different atmosphere. And you have different possessions. Everything in your life should be different. It's a shame that it took a Gentile woman, recognized who they were. Rahab recognized who they were. She knew who they were. She said, we know that the Lord, she knew who the Lord was. They served graven images and everything else. But she said, the Lord hath given you our land. She knew who they were. She knew that God had given them a possession. God has taken our possession and given it to you. And only a few ever got the glimpse of who they were. As I said, people see who you are. People see what you possess. And I'm not talking about earthly possessions. I'm not, you know, just because somebody's got a lot of money and got a lot of things that people say, well, God's really blessed them. No, maybe they're a hard worker. Maybe they had a rich uncle. You know, it's not that they're serving God better than you. You know, some people's lives, you know, through their whole life, if you get older, I mean, you're getting older, Brother Terry. I seen the 2017 Happy Valley Church youth picture back there on Brother Donnie's, and me and Brother Terry wasn't in it. But you see people that through life, Their whole life, their generation, next generation, you see them, they struggle. They struggle financially, they struggle physically, they struggle with sickness. And it, you think, you know, why, maybe, you know, there isn't something wrong in their life. That's just their lot in life. Everyone is different. Exodus 23. And little by little I will drive them out. This is God saying, I'm giving you this land. All the way back in Abraham, I was reading in Genesis this week where God said, as the dust of the ground, so your seed shall be in this land. This is your land. He took them there into Hebron, and he said, this is all yours as far as you can see. It's all yours. And this is what he's telling the children of Israel 400 years later when he brings them out. Little by little I'll drive them out before thee, and unto thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will set thy bounds. We're going to get into this later. I will set thy boundaries. From the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines. From the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. And you shall drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land. We're going to talk about that again in a minute. They shall not dwell in thy land. They ain't even taken it yet, but God's calling it theirs. They hadn't even taken it. They ain't step a foot on it, and God says, this is your land. So in other words, everybody else is trespassers. So everything else that you claim is yours, that's God's given you, if you claimed your healing, you got cancer on it. Cancer's trespassing on what's yours. If you got depression, joy and peace is yours. Depression's trespassing on that. So God said, move these boundaries. Move these boundaries on the other side of that. Take this peace. Take this joy. Set a boundary on the other side of that. That's yours. Push it as far as you want. All the way to the Red Sea. Thou shalt not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it shall surely be a snare unto them. So God tells them to push them out. I know I've got a few quotes of scriptures here early, but I'll lessen it up here in a minute. Jehovah Jireh in 64. You don't know what you own till you go looking through the Bible to find out the promises. He's talking about your possessions. They'll keep you from them if they can, but they're yours. Every promise is to Abraham and to his seed after him. Every divine promise in the Word belongs to Abraham and his seed, and you are an heir to it. There's that word again. You're an heir to it. It says, an heir, oh my, I like to look through to see what I got. If somebody give me something, I like to look it over. I like to look through the Bible and see what belongs to me. Every seed of Abraham ought to do that. When you become born again, filled with the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit upon you, you're an heir to every one of those promises. Promises become your possessions once you recognize who you are. If you don't know you own something, you can't possess it yet. You can't, you know, that your rich uncle can will $1 million to you. And if you don't realize that he's your rich uncle, you'll never possess it. It'll never be yours. It'll lay there in probate or whatever it does for until you realize who you are. So every promise in God's Word belongs to you. And Satan's job is to keep you from seeing that. Like I said, he's not going to make you believe you're not a son or a daughter of God. But he'll keep you from taking what's yours. He'll keep your healing from you. Your deliverance from you. Everything that your financial needs. Your lost son, your lost daughter, your lost husband. He's going to discourage you to even think that there's anything to be done. I heard a story the other day. This guy says he's going down the road and he looks over and sees Satan has a yard sale going on. He said, so he decides to stop in there and see what he's got. He says, Satan, he said, well, what do you got for sale over here? He said, well, I got a lot of things. He said, but discouragement is my best seller. And so he says, why? Why do you sell so much of that? He said, once I sell discouragement, all my other tools work. So his job is to sell you discouragement. As a son and daughter of God, you're not allowed to possess that. That's a Jebusite. God said, push him out. He told Israel to push the Jebusites out. But we let it linger there. And so many times, Satan tries to get us to believe that we can live with it. That's what got Israel in trouble, and that's what got Israel in trouble to this day. Is he told them, you push them to these boundaries. And you set your boundaries over at the Red Sea. You set them over at the sea of the desert, the sea of the Philistines. You set them on the other side of the desert. These are your boundaries. And you push them all the way past there. Well, they got the Jebusites to one spot, and they decided to let them stay. And they got to thinking amongst themselves, you know what? This ain't that bad. This is not that bad at all. We can live with this. That's still Satan's tactic to this day. He's got a Jebusite called appeal. There's times you see people that have been suffered and complained with things for years and years, and you never see them up here one time to get prayed for. Complaining about how sick they are. Complaining about how depressed they are. How much they hurt. And they're popping pills like a junkie. What about your possession of healing? That God said, when you're in the land, this is yours. And there you are popping Jebusites. I'm not nothing against medication. But when that becomes your only source of healing, you've built a house for the Jebusites. That's not doctrine. That's just Joe's opinion. In Joshua 23:8, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done this day. For the Lord hath driven them out before you, great nations and strong. But as for you, he's telling them, this is what you're going to be able to do as sons and daughters of God. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you until this day. Nobody has stood before you. They would have had no trouble driving the Jebusites out. Zero trouble. All they had to do was trust God. God already said, this is your land. They're trespassing. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, it is he that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. So instead of possessing healing, deliverance, salvation for your loved ones, Satan's handing over sadness, bitterness, depression, doubt, worry, stress. You can't have all the other stuff if you own that. What happened was the Jebusites planted corn on their property, so they weren't able to sow seeds on nothing. So they had to live with all being short of what God told them they could have. In Exodus 23, it says, else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of those nations, even those that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. They shall be snares and traps unto you. And they are to this day, naturally speaking, in Israel. And scourges in your side and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord hath given you. In Joshua 15, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day. Joshua 17, yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute. They put him to tribute. I didn't know what God said do. God said drive him out. You're settling. You're settling for something Satan's given you and you decided to live with it. If I don't think about it, if I just leave it alone, go about my business, I won't worry about it. God said drive it out. And the children of Benjamin, Joshua's Judges 1:21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. In possessing all things. Oh my, how I like that. Believer's promise, you say. What's that got to do with us, to every believer? The believer's promise is eternal life. The believer's promise is life. It's joy. It's peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Patience. Fruits of the Spirit. Divine healing. A dozen things I've wrote down here nearly. That is your possession. It belongs to you. But you cannot have it until you fight for it. It's yours. Israel gave up the fight. They gave up fighting. They decided they didn't want to fight no more. It really wasn't much of a fight. God said, I'll be with you. I'll drive them out for you. So why did they get tired? Why did they settle? We do that in life. We there's so much things that God has for us. And we decide to settle without it. I believe with all my heart that this bride will obtain every single possession God has for her by the time she gets out of here. It's yours. God's not saving some of these possessions for another day. He said everything that God was, He poured into Christ. Everything Christ that was, He poured back into His bride. He didn't leave a little something out. But we settle so far beneath what God has for us so many times. And we wonder why we struggle in our daily walk. You know, it's human nature. You're going to leave this humanity on. I'm not saying that you need to go home and work yourself up into deity. Not that at all. God knows you're human. God knows you're going to make mistakes. God knows you're going to fall. But God also knows your heart. He also knows your desire. If it's your desire, true desire, to obtain every possession that God has for you, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. The bride will do it. So claim your ground. Claim your land. You know, footsteps are possession. I don't hardly study anything like this without talking about Caleb. You're talking about a Gentile dog. The promise wasn't even to him at all. He says, y'all don't want it. I'll take it. You don't want to take your promise that God gave you. I'll take it. You know, give me my mountain. Look at the part that he took. I think I addressed that climbing your mountains. Climbing, you know, he took Hebron, the most treacherous mountainous part there in Canaan. Took a sword and fought and killed the giants off of it. 85 years old. You know, we've got no excuses. Somebody forgot to tell Caleb it didn't belong to him. You know, we look at gifts that God gives us. Let's start with the Holy Ghost. To me, I think as a bride, that's one of the first things God gives us, Brother Terry, is the Holy Ghost. And it's a free gift. You got people seeing that people are struggling for years for the Holy Ghost. I've been struggling. No, you're not struggling. You shouldn't be struggling for the Holy Ghost because it's a free gift. My son asked me tonight if I'm going to use the Oreo. We had a young people's meeting one time, and there was a young man there. I don't know if he's here tonight or not. Brother John Horniak, some of us. But there's a lot of question and answers. Brother Terry, I think you remember a lot of the young people do question and answers. And Brother Donnie wanted some of the health ministers here to have meetings with Brother Weber and I think Brother Bradley and Brother Horniak and him and answer some of these. And I took the Holy Ghost subject. And this one boy, he really liked Oreos. So I told him, I said, it's this simple. If you want an Oreo and you know there's Oreos in the pantry, what do you do? You go get them and eat them. It's that simple. The Holy Ghost is a free gift. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to get beat on the back, speak in tongues. It's a free gift. God did not say work for it. When Christmas comes around, all them gifts under the tree, Does your wife ask you to do 400 push-ups before you open yours? It's not that. It's got your name on it, so you go get it. And question and answers in 59. Before there was a world, you were in God's thought. In God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Because He knew you'd be wanting it. Can you imagine before foundation of the world? Brother Jerry, God looked down through time and said, Brother Jerry's going to want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have it all ready for him. It's going to be there waiting for him when he gets there. It's a free gift. God knew what your desire would be. God knew that you would want to live for Him. God knew that you wanted to live a clean, holy life. And for you to walk in the footsteps of deity, He said, you've got to have this. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. So I want to have it there waiting for you. So why did He do that? Brother Branham also, he typed Egypt. Israel coming out of Egypt into Canaan. Egypt is the world. Canaan is the Holy Ghost. You know? That was his type of that. It was God had given it to them. Give it to them. That's how easy it was. When they first crossed Jordan and went into Canaan, and they were slaying people left and right, it was easy. Because God gave it to them. Why? Why did He give it to them? It was a promise He made Abraham. It was because they were Abraham's seed. Why does He give you what He gives you? It's because of who you are. It's not because of anything you've done. If my kids want something, if I'm able, within reason, if I'm able, I'm going to get it for them. Why? Because they're mine. They're my kids. The things that you want in life, the things that God, the blessings that God gives you in life, you did not one single thing to deserve that. You didn't do anything. I've given my kids stuff that they didn't deserve. There's times I could have stomped a mud hole in them. But they're mine, and I love them anyway, so I'm going to give them stuff. What if God judged you by every mistake that you made? What if God judged you, I'm going to give you your possessions based on your mistakes? You would have anything. You would have nothing. You don't deserve anything to begin with. We don't deserve anything. But it's because of who you are. Joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ was, it belongs to you. It's because of who we are. That's why He gives us the Holy Ghost. I was studying this. I was wondering, you know, God looking at who we are. Us looking at who we are. Other people looking at who we are. What does Satan see when he sees you? What does the devil see? Does he know who you are? Remember the sons of Sceva in Acts 19? They were trying to cast out devils. In Jesus' name and Paul's name. They said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. But who are you? So when you get down to pray, when you go through your walk of life and you're trying to, Satan, I'm claiming this, I'm claiming this. Does he know who you are? Does he know what you're claiming? Or does he just tell you, I don't know who you are and you ain't taking it? It's going to be impossible for Satan to recognize who we are if we can't recognize who we are ourselves. If you don't know you're the bride, you're never going to walk down that aisle. If you claim to be the bride, if the bride don't recognize who she is, music starts playing. If she don't know she's the bride, she's never coming through them doors. Don't matter what she's got on. Don't matter who's standing up here waiting. It's recognizing who you are. You say, Brother Joe, I don't have faith for a lot of things. And I love this quote, and I had this in... Brother Saunders and him will recognize this. I used this quote up in Arizona a few months ago. I got to studying the other message I got out of who you are or who are you was one of the power of words. And I found this quote. He said, Brother Branham was talking about people, said something to him that they didn't have enough faith. He He says, if you don't have enough faith, he said, go the adopted baby route. How many's ever heard that before? Go the adopted baby route. He preached that in Eagle Stirreth Upper Nest. And he goes on to explain what the adopted baby route is. He said, you know, when you take a mother that can't have a baby, she tries and tries and tries to have a baby. And she can't have a baby, so she'll adopt one. And then, not all the times, but a lot, most of the times, once she quits stressing out and worrying about having a baby, she ends up having a baby. He said, so you take that need that you have, and you approach that need with adopted baby route. Brother Branham, what Brother Branham was telling to do, you take that need and you put it up here in your mind. You put it up here in your mind. You start thinking positive thoughts about that need. And you come in here on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays. You get it a well checkup. You rock it. You sing lullabies to it. Whatever that need is, every thought that you give it, you change it. You feed it. That adopted baby is going to begin to grow. And when that adopted baby grows, about, Brother Donnie always says, about 14 inches. It'll end up down here. I believe I preached a sermon here 2 or 3 years ago. Brother Branham said, you know, if you can't have faith, you know, he said, do the next best thing. You know, he's talking about thinking positive. You get, he said, pray for doctors, pray for nurses. Everything, you know, it's not all about working up faith. But Donnie did preach a series here not too long ago about positive thinking. So you got a possession in your life. You struggle with things in your life, whether it's healing. You feel like I can't get enough faith to believe for my healing. Sometimes when you're the one hurting, sometimes you need somebody else to believe with you. You have to. But Terry, Sister Alice needs you going through her liver disease problem. She needed Brother Terry's faith. She needed our faith. But I could see maybe in Sister Alice's mind, it's hard to have faith, but you can think positive. You can think positive, I believe God's healed me. Just think, I'm healing. You get that well body. You see that well body out there and you walk towards that well body. Go on, what did Brother Bram say? Every time they come off the platform, go your way thanking God. There's people that's come across this platform and got hands laid on them for sickness and walked away with it. Thanking God. Thanking God. So the adopted baby route. If you got a lost son, lost daughter, lost husband, your kid on drugs, lost wife, whatever's your... Get it, if you can't have faith for it. It's hard when you're stressed out sometimes. When you're worrying so much about your kids. It's hard sometimes to have the right kind of faith. Because that worry, that stress piles up. Start thanking God. Yes. Get a positive thoughts in your mind and start thinking that way. Yes. Let's talk about boundaries. God told Israel where to set their boundaries. We have boundaries. I'm going to use these things. Y'all take a break. I was about 15 years old. How many members, Brother Danny Williams? I love that man. I was about 15 years old and Brother Danny Williams came to Kentucky. And he took 2 mic stands. Really? He took 2 mic stands and he used them as boundary markers. He preached a message on boundaries. And he was took these boundary markers and he talked about God telling Israel, moving to the land. And Brother Danny started moving, using the boundary markers. He said God, you know, would take them and they'd go past Jericho and they'd move the boundary this way and they would stretch out that boundary. The next city over, and they moved that boundary, and they moved it. Finally, they had all this land. And then he took them same boundary markers, He said, let's use these boundary markers in your life. Right here is where Satan wants your boundary markers. Right here. Because you ain't got nothing. You can't move. You can't build a house right here. There's no land. And you can't make footsteps. Footsteps are possessions. So you got sickness in your life. You got cancer. Right over there is healing. You've got to move this boundary over there to have this healing. You have depression. Right over there is joy. And this boundary marker has to go from here to there. Here's the key to that. God said that was yours. It should be as simple as walking over and putting your boundary marker across joy. Putting your boundary marker on healing. You've created footsteps. You can build a foundation in here now. But so often Satan tries to move that boundary marker. You wasn't really healed anyway. You know what? You're probably right. That joy you had, it was that pill that you took. Remember that? It wasn't real joy. It was just that pill you took. And so often he gets us right back in here. These boundaries should be so far you shouldn't even see them. Everything that God has should push your boundaries so far that you can't even see them. Because I'm thinking, if I can see my boundaries, I don't have enough land. I don't have enough possessions. Hey, I'm going to be greedy when what God gave me. I'm going to be greedy. I'm going to get all I can get. But as I was saying, sometimes to move these boundaries, it takes faith of others. You know, when your wife, your husband's in the hospital dying, you know, somebody needs to grab this with you. Somebody has to grab this with you. Somebody has to help you move it. Because sometimes whenever you got cancer, you got liver disease, and you need these boundaries moved past that healing to pull that healing in there, Satan's going to push them in. It's a body move, y'all. The body heals itself. Ask any nurse, any doctor, everything that you need for healing is in the human body. The body can heal itself. But it's all ours.
Amen.
Studying this, you know, I was looking at the Syrophoenician woman. It wasn't for her. It wasn't for her. You know, in studying this, and I'm going to jump ahead in my notes, I think, because I don't even know where I'm at now. But it wasn't for her. What did Jesus tell her? Healing is the children's bread. And sometimes I think we're starving to death. I think we're starving to death. That's freely given. It's the children's bread, but it's not. He said it's not for her. If somebody, that God could give it to somebody that wasn't for, what about those that it is for? That's the way he was. And in studying this, in the last sermon I had, A Power of Words, I got to reading about the Gentiles. The same situation that happened with Israel. The same thing that happened with Israel, not taking their land. Not taking what God had sent them, what God had given them, happened, unfolded again, right back in Acts. Acts 13:46. What did Paul tell them? But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of an everlasting life. They wouldn't go get it. They wouldn't take it. You know, I was listening to a sermon today. This day the scripture is fulfilled. In 65, February 65, Brother Branham said, you know, in the scripture it talks about my son has come out of Egypt. Brother Branham said that was a twofold fulfillment in that scripture. Was Jacob coming out of Egypt. children of Israel. They come out of Egypt. God brought them out. He said the other fulfillment was that was the greater son. He said, Jacob was the son that came out of Egypt. My son has come out of Egypt. I've called my son out of Egypt. He's the second one, he said, was the greater son, was Jesus Christ, come out of Egypt. And they turned him down. Here again, and Paul tells him, Acts 13:46, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. And then what did he say? From this day, I turn to the Gentiles. I turn to the Gentiles.
Amen.
I turn to you.
Amen.
And the Gentiles rejoiced. It wasn't for them. Reading the New Testament, Jesus tells his disciples, do not go take this to the Gentiles. It wasn't for them. There was Gentiles living in that day that were ordained to eternal life, and Jesus said, don't take us to them. Because Paul says when he turns to the Gentiles, those that were ordained to eternal life accepted it. So whenever Paul does turns around, what does he see? This is what he sees right here, Gentiles. We're going to take it.
Amen.
We're going to set up boundaries.
Amen.
Everything that the Jews wouldn't take, we want it. I don't remember who it was, Brother Darrell, Brother Donnie, preaching that around the first of the year, talked about Paul doing a full body move and turning to the Gentiles. And that Gentile dispensation started on that body move. And I got the wonder, Brother Terry, after hearing that. I was sitting there listening when Brother Donnie's preaching that. I thought, how long had the Gentiles followed them around? How long had they followed them around listening and hearing these men speak this word? And these men refused to speak to them. Before this happened, the Gentiles actually came up to Paul and said, preach it to us.
Yeah, right.
We want it. We want to hear it.
Yeah.
Paul couldn't preach it to them. He couldn't preach it to them. How would you like to be in your life?
Yeah.
How would you like this end time word coming this day? And they say, no, it's for people in Kentucky. Tennesseans, you can't have it. If you're ordained eternal life, you'd follow it around. You would follow it everywhere it went until they turned and spoke to you. That's what these Gentiles did. They said, we'll take them possessions. Any possession that they don't want, we'll take it. So that started the boundary move. The church ages has been moving boundaries all the way from Paul up to now. What did Paul move the boundary to? What was Paul's boundary on the other side of? You have to be saved through Jesus Christ dying on the cross.
Praise the Lord.
He moved that boundary past that.
Amen.
What was Luther? Luther found out you had to be justified. He moved that boundary past that.
Amen.
Wesley's seen that you have to be sanctified.
Yeah.
Luther couldn't move his boundary past sanctification. That wasn't given to him. It wasn't given to him yet. Paul couldn't move it through sanctification, justification. It wasn't given to him yet.
Yeah. Amen.
Pentecost. Moving past the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
Malachi 4 and 5. Would it push it back? Who you really are.
Right.
He set boundaries past who you are. And that encompassed everything that God had for you. Then boundaries can't go any further. The problem is that we refuse to see where the boundaries are at. We've set up our own little boundaries in our life, and we get them up around our feet, and we can't walk, we can't move. But God says, I've set these boundaries here. If you get your human nature out of the way, if you get your human eyes out of the way, and you see everything that I've got for you, you won't need your boundaries. You can use mine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to everything. I apologize. Prodigal son. I'm going to skip some stuff. Prodigal son. I love the story about the prodigal son and possession so much. Because look what he took with him. Look what he took with him and look what he left. He took his own possessions with him. They didn't last. You know, you can pile up all the worldly possessions. There's some people that just have to have stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's different. People have to have stuff. This guy had to have stuff. Told his daddy, "Give me what's mine. Let me have it. Daddy's rich." And he took it with him. And it took tests and trials for him to see that everything that he truly owned, he had left it back at home. Everything that was really his, he left it at home. Everything the daddy had was his. Daddy proved it when he came back. Put his robe on him. Killed the best calf he had. Put his ring on him. Everything that God, the best that God has. Let me put it that way. The best that God has belongs to you. When you realize who you are, and I put a note down here. When you realize who you are and you've staked a claim to all that God has for you, Satan don't want to be on that land. When you realize, when you get a revelation of this is mine, he don't want to be on that. Because he knows he's got to fight. Let's stand together. Brother Branham says in Abraham's seed, 59, you're an heir to it, heir of salvation, heir of divine healing, heir of every redemptive blessing Jesus died for. You are the heir to it. For you are Abraham's seed. You're heir of the whole thing. The whole thing. Not in part, the whole thing. He says, I feel religious. Now that I'm an heir, you may think I'm just a little crazy. But if I am, just leave me alone. I'm more happy that way than I was the other way. He said, I like this way the best. But I know that I'm an heir, heir of salvation, heir of every promise. This is why you Pentecostal people, you sing every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. Then act like it. Walk around and see what you got in here. It's all yours. You're heir to it. So walk around. Take possession. It belongs to you. God gave it to you. What a beautiful promise there. You might say, Brother Joe, I have enough faith to claim that. I try so hard, but it's so hard. I struggle against the devil. I know I've read this scripture probably with half of sermons I've preached here, but I'm going to read it again. James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. The other day I decided to look up the word resist. It does not say, submit yourselves to God, call in an army, an airstrike, call 911, and he will flee. That word resist means just don't move. Be unmovable. You've claimed your land, so stay on it and don't move. You don't have to call a prayer meeting because the devil's coming up against you. Don't move. You see, Brother Joe, I don't know if I have. I don't have enough in me for that. In studying this sermon I preached in Arizona about power of words, I got to looking deeper into Legion. You're going to have to forgive me a minute. And while I was reading Legion, I recall Brother Donnie preaching that sermon about how many angels it took to put Satan into the pit. One angel. Didn't even give him a name. A nameless angel. So he wasn't very highly ranked. One angel put him in the pit. Now I was reading. in the maniac of Gadara. So the legion had 2,000 demons on him. 2,000. But he had enough. We sit here and we complain about the little tests and the trials that we go through. You claim there's no one greater in your life than Jesus Christ. And you complain about the tests and the trials that we have to go through. The pain that you have to go through. And this is a man with 2,000 demons. And he had enough inside of him. That Jesus heard him from the other side of the sea. Because God placed something in him before the foundation of the world. Without that, he'd have never been able to get free. Jesus wouldn't have heard anything else but the Father calling from him. When that seed spoke, and you struggle from day to day and feel like you can't make it. We, I say we, not you, us, everybody, we're human. But the part of that that I have a problem with is Legion never had the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost wasn't sent yet. He found somebody that would hear him. There was something down in there greater than 2,000 demons. Can you think of anybody greater than that? That Jesus would come to live inside of you? That God would place something down in you, loved you so much before you were even born, before this world was ever born. God had you in his mind that he loved you so much that he placed a part of him down inside of you. He loved Legion so much that he placed a part of him down there. I can't wait to find out his real name, Brother Terry. I want to find him. Because if you claim that you got the Holy Ghost, and then you claim that you can't make it through Laodicea, he's going to stand against you on Judgment Day. And say, I had 2,000 demons on me. What'd you have, a backache? That's life. But that's the truth. I don't mean to be hard, but that's the truth. We're soft. Hey, we're in a battle. But he's given you everything that you need for this battle. He's given you everything. We will not have no excuses when we leave here, Brother Greg. We'll have no excuses. You have no reason not to make it through everything that comes your way. No reason. Because there's no one greater than Jesus. And you claim that he lives inside of you. Let him do the fighting. God told children of Israel, I'll drive them out for you. I'll drive them out. He told you the same thing. But Harry, can we sing that song, There's No One Greater Than Jesus? Let's worship him a little bit. I really didn't mean to hold you this long.
I'm so bound up, my life was so tied up. Side of the sea, his eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me bound so long. My morning song.
the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lost eye. So
Brother Joe a hand tonight. Amen. We appreciate that. Amen. Footsteps are possession tonight. Amen. Let's sing that song. We sang it, I think, last week. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Amen. I told Satan, get thee behind. Amen. Let's sing that tonight. Amen. Brother Joe. Amen. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. Joy, oh, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine, mine, mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine, mine, mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. I rose up praising and shouting victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine, mine, mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, love is mine. Love is mine. Love today is mine, mine, mine. Satan, get thee behind. Love today is mine. When I woke up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. I knew that the Lord.